عليه وعلى آله وسلم. The first question that we want to answer is that someone had asked this is a community where there are a lot of reverts to Islam who may have relationships, physical relationships in their time prior to al-Islam, in their jahiliyyah, in the times of jahiliyyah. If a man takes a wife who may be at risk from a disease of a sensitive nature, thus raising, risking the health of current wine, do you think it would be better for the brother to ask that the sister is tested for AIDS or other similar diseases before he marries her?
Alhamdulillah.
We ask this question to the sheikh in front of the brothers during the lunch just now, and the sheikh said, no doubt about it, the sister or the brother, who this is his or her description, they should request this test to be done. If a man has the means and believes he can be just to two wives, should he marry two wives? I.e., is it better to marry two than to marry one? And likewise, if he has two wives and he has the means, is it better for him to marry three as opposed to remaining with two? And if he has three wives and he has the means, is it better for him to marry four as opposed to remaining with three?
كان الرجل عنده امرأة واحدة وكان عنده القدرة والمال على أن يتزوج الثانية، هل هذا خير له أن يتزوج؟
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. أن يكون ذلك الأمر خيرا له أو لا يكون، هذا راجع إلى ما يستطيع أن يضبط به نفسه، وهل يعتقد من الناحية الاجتماعية ومن الناحية الشخصية أن الزواج الثاني خير له، أم أن بقاءه على الزوجة الأولى خير له. هذا أمر أيها الإخوة نسبي، بمعنى أنه قد يختلف من شخص إلى آخر. فقد يكون إنسان ما يريد أن يتزوج، أعني أن يعدد الزوجات، أن يتزوج امرأة أخرى، لكنه لا يستطيع أن يضبط شؤونه، وليس المال كل شيء في هذه الحياة. وقد يكون آخر ليس غنيا لكن عنده من المال ما يكفيه، وبالتالي يتزوج امرأة أخرى وهو يعلم من نفسه أن هذا الزواج سيكون خيرا له وسيكون بداية لحياة طيبة ينتعش فيها بشريعة الله تعالى، هو وزوجته الأولى وزوجته الثانية وهكذا. فالأمر إذن ليس له قاعدة خاصة، إنما يختلف باختلاف الناس وقدراتهم واحتمالهم واستطاعتهم إحكام حياتهم الزوجية على وجه الشريعة الإسلامية. والله تعالى أعلم.
The Sheikh went on to say that after praising Allah and sending peace and salutations upon our Prophet and Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said the answer to this question, it really goes back to whether or not the person feels that he will be capable of tying all of his affairs together, all of his affairs that are related to his social standing and his social position. If he was of the opinion that this is going to be better for him, and he took all of the necessary precautions and he made all of the appropriate preparations, and he feels that this is the best thing for him in the society and at that time, then in his case, I would say that it's better. But in actuality, the answer to the question is going to be relative to every single person's particular and specific circumstances, because the case will be different from one person to the next person. A person may desire to get married, and he has the money to do so, but his lifestyle and the things concerning his life does not allow him to get married. Where you may have another man on the other hand who may not have a lot of money, but the way he is as a man and the way his lifestyle is, it may be in his case perfectly permissible and possible for him to get married to another woman, and then he can begin his life, a good life, with his first wife as well as his second wife. So what I need you people to understand is that there is no qaida that is specific. There is no principle, there is no rule that is applicable across the board. but actually it's going to be different according to the people's understandings, according to the people's different abilities, and according to the people's ihtimalat, the condition or what each person is bringing to the table, and Allah knows best. This person said, قُلْتُمْ يَا أُسْتَاذَ الْكَرِيمِ أَنَّ مِنَ الْفَوَائِدِ الَّتِي نَسْتَفِيدُهَا مِنَ الْآيَةِ هُوَ أَنَّ الْقُدُرَ الْحَالِيَةِ الْمَالِيَةِ تُعُدُّ أَمْرًا هَامًا وَشَرْطًا لِلزَّوَاجِ وَقَدْ يُفْهَمْ هَذَا عَلَى إِطْلَاقِهِ فالنبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم كان متزوجا لتسعة من النساء ولم يكن في بيته إلا الماء فقط كما أن الإمام أحمد رحمة الله عليه لم يجعل من القدرة المالية شرطا للزواج بل جعلها أمرا مستحبا والله سبحانه وتعالى يقول وأنكحوا الأيام منكم بالصالحين من عبادكم إن يكونوا فقراء يغنيهم الله من فضله فكيف تفسرون ذلك وجزاكم الله خيرا. The person said, my respected teacher, you mentioned earlier that from the benefit that we get from the ayat that was read before is that a person's financial situation, his finances is a very important issue, and it is also a condition for marriage. It may be understood, this statement may be understood just like that, generally, as you put forth. But we find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wasallam, he was married to 9 women, and in his house, all there was water only. And also, Imam Ahmed, rahmatullahi alayhi, he did not make the presence of money or the finances a condition for a person to get married. He said that it was something that was highly recommended, but it's not a condition. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran, and marry the orphans from amongst you and the righteous people from your servants. If they are poor, if they are fuqara, then Allah will provide for them out of His bounty. So how do you explain this, and how do you make the harmonization? جزاكم الله خيرا.
الحمد لله.
أقول جوابا على هذا السؤال. أولا الآية الكريمة وأنكحوا الأيام منكم والصالحين من عبادكم ليست ذات صلة بمسألة تعدد الزوجات لا من قريب ولا من بعيد، وإنما هي ذات صلة بمسألة الزواج. ونحن نعتقد بنص هذه الآية أن من لم يكن متزوجا أن الزواج يعينه على أن يكون غنيا بفضل الله تبارك وتعالى عليه. ويدل على هذا قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، اثنان حق على الله عونهم، فذكر منهما الناكح يريد العفاف، الناكح يريد العفاف أي الشاب الذي يريد الزواج ليعف نفسه، فإن لله حقا عليه أن يعينه. هذه نقطة. أما النقطة الثانية فإن الشرط الذي يشار إليه في السؤال ليس هو الشرط بمعنى أن من لم يكن ذا مال وتزوج فإن زواجه باطل، وإنما هو أمر في دائرة الوجوب، استدلالا بقوله تعالى ذلك أدنى ألا تعولوا. وهذا القيد بقوله سبحانه ذلك أدنى ألا تعولوا إشارة قوية إلى لزوم دراسة المتزوج وضعه ونفسه وحالته حتى يكون منه قدرة على تحمل أعباء الزواج وما يتعلق به. وأما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم تزوج 9 نسوة أو أكثر ولم يكن عنده إلا الماء، فذاك نبي الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأولئك نساؤه، فإيتوني بنساء لا تصبر إلا على الماء حتى أقول لكم تزوجوا ولو لم يكن عندكم ماء. نعم.
The Sheikh, he said, first of all, this ayah that was mentioned, you need to understand that the ayah is not connected. It doesn't have a relation. It is not talking about, the subject matter of the ayah is not talking about plural marriage, not from close nor from far, meaning it has no connection whatsoever to the subject matter, talking about it in any way. But instead, the ayah is talking about what? It is talking about marriage as an institution in itself. And the Sheikh went on to say that I will use this ayat myself to establish a point and to say something, and that is that the ayat or the text of this ayat is a clear indication and a clear proof that zawaj or marriage is one of the ways that a person can go about being blessed by getting or receiving the bounties of Allah. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the ayat, Allah said in the ayat, whoever is poor, Allah will provide for them himself. So the Shaykh is saying, Yarhamakallah, I myself will use this ayat to say that if the marriage is one of the ways in which a person can be, Allah will give a person some money. He said also, we can use the authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, in which he said, there are two people who have rights on Allah. And the Shaykh used the word haqqun ala Allah, which means Allah, they have rights on Allah. From the two people that he mentioned was the one who has a right on Allah, one of those people, is the person who is getting married or he has gotten married in order to preserve himself, in order to save himself. The Shaykh went on to explain the young man who wants to get married, the young person who is trying to get married to complete this institution, Allah Ta'ala has taken it upon himself to look out for them. He went on to say that was the first point. As for the second point, he said that this condition that we were talking about, the condition of a man having the ability and the man having the money and the means to get married, he said it is not a condition where we say if it's not present that your marriage is batil, null and void. Meaning if you got married and you didn't have the money, no one could come and say, oh, this marriage is null and void, it doesn't count. He said it's not that type of condition. But we're talking about the condition that is inside of the circle of the legislation of Al-Islam, where if you were to do it, you would be taking care of your life and your affairs. And where do we get this? We get it from the ayah, as we mentioned before, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and that is better for you. When he said, if you can't marry them, then marry one or marry what your right hands possess. And if you can't do that, then Allah said, and that is better for you so that you will not go overboard, so you do not do wrong. So the Shaykh went on to say, this ayah is telling the person who wants to get married, this ayah is encouraging him and informing him that he has to study his situation. He has to study his own self, his abilities, and he has to study everything that is connected to this affair that he is about to embark upon. As for the point that the questioner made concerning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam marrying 9 women or more than 9 women, then I'm going to say to you, that was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As for those women that he was married to, those were the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, now you bring me women who are similar to them, who will be patient with you just bringing water home, and he'll say to you, marry 4 of them if you choose. And that was the answer of the Sheikh. Right here, there are 2 things we want to mention now, 2 corrections, and I'm glad the brother wrote it. Before, the Sheikh mentioned in the last session, if a man wanted to get married to a virgin girl and he was already married to a girl, we translated and we said that he said that when you marry that virgin girl, you stay with your first wife 1 night and then you go with the virgin girl for 7 days. And if you're marrying a woman who's a Sayyib, who has been married before, then you stay with your first wife or the previous wife 1 night, and then you go with the new woman for 3 days. This was brought to our attention, and the Sheikh said, no, he didn't mean that. It was a mistranslation. It was wrong. He said that you marry the woman who you marry first is the one you stay with first, 7 days or 3 days, and then you go to that previous wife. So make that correction. And the second thing is the ayat that the person wrote in this question right here. We translated it as orphans. And the brother wrote here that right here, the al-ayama means those women, those people who are not married. The unmarried people. Ahsanta. What advice would you give to a sister who is proposed to by a brother, a very knowledgeable person who would be good for her deen, inshallah, but her parents object due to him already being married? Can she rebel against her parents? Can she rebel against her parents? ما قولك يا شيخ ونصيحتك للمرأة التي طلب الرجل زواج منها وإن شاء الله أنه يفيدها في دينها ولكنه الرجل عنده امرأة الآن وأهلها يرفضون هذا الأمر هل لها أن لا تسمع كلام أهلها وتتزوج منه؟
لا يجوز زواج امرأة من غير إذن وليها، والرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام يقول لا نكاح إلا بولي وشاهدين. فهذه المرأة التي يوجد لها أهل وولي أو والد يرفض نكاحها من هذا الرجل، فإنه لن يرفض نكاحها من آخر إذا زال السبب الذي جعلهم يمتنعون من تزويجها من هذا. أما إذا كان المنع منعا دائما أريد به عضل هذه المرأة وتعليقها وعدم إتاحة الزواج لها، فترفع هذه المرأة أمرها للقاضي المسلم أو للعالم أو للمفتي أو لمن هو في هذه المنزلة من أهل العلم، فهو يزوجها. والرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام يقول أنا ولي من لا ولي له. أما لمجرد أنهم لم يوافقوا على هذا فهي ترفض كلامهم وترده، ثم تقبل أن تأتي على أم رأسها هكذا لتتزوجه دون إذنهم ودون موافقتهم، فهذا لا يجوز، والله تعالى أعلم.
The Sheikh advised the sister, and please understand this because we have this a lot in this country. He said it is not permissible for this woman to get married except by the permission of her wali. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there is no nikah, there is no marriage except with the present and the input of the wali and two witnesses. So as long as this woman has a wali on the scene and that family is rejecting a particular person, sooner or later they're going to accept another man as soon as the reason that they're rejecting the first guy, like this guy, they're rejecting him now, but there's going to be someone who comes along who they're not going to reject when the problem that they are rejecting the first one, this is going to be gone. So sooner or later, they're going to give you their permission to the same type of brother who's going to approach you, who's good for your religion, who's a knowledgeable brother. The Sheikh went on to say, as for the girl whose family is just rejecting and they're not going to accept anybody, she has this problem. The Sheikh said, then in this case, what he will advise the girl to do is to raise her affair to the scholar, to the knowledgeable one, to the qadi, to the judge, or to the mufti, the one who is giving these rulings. And then, inshallah ta'ala, he will be the one who will marry her. But not her just going out and marrying someone by herself. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and he was the leader of the people, he was in the position of all these people that Sheikh just mentioned, he said, I am the wali of the one who doesn't have a wali. So let her not take the affairs into her own hands and just refuse the statements of those who are responsible for her and do what she wants to do, so that the problems will fall directly upon her head, causing her much sorrow and trouble. So this is something that is not permissible.
هنا يسأل أخ باللغة العربية فيقول البعض يحاول تبرير تعدد الزوجات في الإسلام بأنه لا يجوز إلا إذا كان هناك سبب معين له كالأسباب التي ذكرت من قبل، أي أنه يجب ألا يكون التعدد إلا إذا كان هناك سبب، وليس لأن الرجل مثلا يريد أن تكون أو يريد أن تكون له أكثر من زوجة ليمنع نفسه من الفتنة مثلا.
The questioner is saying to the Sheikh, there are some people who try to say that the only reason why a person can get married to more than one woman is that there has to be a reason or some excuse that he has. And if these excuses are not present, then they can't get married. And it's what you already mentioned before. And it's not, they're saying that a person, a man, cannot go and get married just like that simply because he wants to get married with more than one woman for no reason. So what do you have to say about that?
الجواب على هذا السؤال من عدة نقاط. أما النقطة الأولى فهي التذكير بأن ذكرنا لتلك الأسباب على وجه الاختصار قد صدرنا القول فيه بأنها أسباب اجتهادية وليست أسبابا قطعية، لأن الله قال عن نفسه ألا يعلم من خلق وهو اللطيف الخبير، وركزنا على هذه النقطة تركيزا كبيرا. أما النقطة الثانية وهو أن يقال بأنه لا يجوز إلا إذا كان سبب، فالصواب أن هذا باطل، وأن القائل بأنه لا يجوز متقول على الله سبحانه وتعالى، بل ذكرنا بأنه يجوز التزوج ولو من غير سبب، ولو من غير سبب. ثم الأخ السائل جزاه الله خيرا يقول لأن الرجل مثلا يريد أن تكون له أكثر من زوجة ليمنع نفسه من الفتنة مثلا. أنا أقول وهذا في حد ذاته سبب. نحن نقول حتى لو لم يكن هذا السبب موجودا فجاز له الزواج وتعداده وتكراره، فكيف إذا وجد مثل هذا السبب الذي هو سبب واقعي وموجود فضلا عن الأسباب الأخرى التي ذكرناها، وذكرنا أنها اجتهادية، وذكرنا أنها ليست شرطا بمعنى أنه يجوز الزواج وتعداده ولو لم توجد. والله تعالى أعلم.
The Sheikh went on to say that we can answer this question from a number of directions. The first point that we want to make concerning it, and we're going to just make the tazkir or the reminder of what we have mentioned already concerning this issue. And we said before that the statements of the people which would imply that if a man wants to get married to more than one woman, he has to have a reason, like she's old, like she's ugly, like something like this. The Sheikh said that we explained before that that was ijtihad from those people. It was there just looking into the affairs, and they made ijtihad and they came up with that statement. But it is not qat'i. It is not something that is sent down and sanctioned by Allah. It's ijtihad. Open, susceptible to being correct and incorrect. He said, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we mentioned already, he said in the Quran, isn't the one who created, doesn't he know? And Allah is latifun khabir. Isn't the one who created, doesn't he know? And Allah is kind, and Allah is all-knowing. So we talked about this, and we concentrated on it, and we made a lot of tarqib. We concentrated on what we were saying and refuting what they had said over there. The second point that we want to mention here is, okay, it's ijtihad, and they made the statement. But this statement is batil. It is batil. That's what the truth of the matter is. And the person who makes this statement is mutaqawwil ala Allah. The person is talking about Allah with that which is not correct. He's making up statements, making up rulings concerning Allah, and he doesn't have any proof and it's not correct. And we explained over there why, and we said that it was permissible for a man to get married to another woman with no reason at all. And the third thing and final point is that the Sheikh said here, the questioner also mentioned, for an example, the man wants to get married to more than one woman so that he doesn't fall into the fitna, so that he isn't tried. For an example, the Sheikh said here, this fitna is a reason. Here those people were talking about he can't get married except with a legitimate reason. Okay, the fact that he doesn't want it, that he wants to get married so he doesn't fall into the fitna, that in and of itself is a reason. So if he can get married with that, what is less than that is also permissible. So now we're saying to you, we are finding reasons here, and even if we didn't find a reason, then it is permissible for the man to get married without any reason, and this is not a condition that is considered. I heard before that a woman can make a condition during the aqd al-nikah that her husband will not marry a second woman. Is this a correct opinion?
أن تطلب من زوجها عند الزواج أن لا يتزوج عليها، وإن فعلت هل ينعقد هذا الشرط؟ هل علي الوفاء به؟
يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: كل شرط ليس في كتاب الله فهو باطل وإن كان 100 شرط. كل شرط ليس في كتاب الله فهو باطل وإن كان 100 شرط. لذلك فإن المرأة لو اشترطت هذا ووافق الزوج فإن اشتراطها غير صحيح وموافقته غير صحيحة، والقاضي المسلم يبطل هذا الشرط ولا يجعله ذا أهمية، والله تعالى أعلم.
The Sheikh went on to say that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وعلى عليه وسلم said, every single condition that the people make and that they agree upon, every single condition that is not in the book of Allah, meaning not supported and sanctioned by the religion, every single condition that is not in the book of Allah, it is null and void. It is batil. Even if it is 100 conditions. The Sheikh says, so based upon that, if the woman makes this as a condition to her husband, that, A, I'm going to marry you under the condition that you don't marry another woman, her request is batil, and if he agreed to do it, that's batil. And if they go to the judge, the Islamic judge, the judge or the qadi that they go to, he has the authority and the ability to make it null and void, to make it not count. Is it permissible for a man to keep all of his wives in one house? هل يجوز الرجل ذات زوجات أن يجعلهن كلهن في بيت واحد تحت سقف واحد؟
وهل كانت بيوت أزواج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إلا هكذا؟ هل كانت بيوت النبي شققا وغرفا وصالات؟ لكن إذا قلنا بأنهن يكن تحت سقف واحد، لكن لابد أن تكون كل واحدة منهن مستقلة بغرفتها وما يتعلق بها ومكان نومها وما شابه ذلك، لكن أن يكن تحت سقف أو تحت أسقف فهذا لا وزن له، والله تعالى أعلم.
The Sheikh went on to say, in answering that question, is it permissible for those women to be in the same house? He said, and the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, were they themselves anywhere except in the same house? They were all in the same house under the same roof. The Sheikh went on to say, they were in the same house under the same roof. Do you think that they had different apartments, meaning a whole apartment to themselves that included a lot of rooms in the apartment? He said, and in saying this, I want to make it clear though, when we say that it's permissible for the woman or these women to be in the same house under the same roof, we also have to make perfectly clear that the woman has to have her own space where she can have her own istiqlal. She can have her own privacy, her own rooms that are specifically for her, like where she sleeps at and everything connected to her life. As for all of them being together, sharing everything together, and everything is mixed up, then this is something that doesn't have any weight to it. If I am unable to support a second wife, but she can't support herself financially, if I am unable to support a second wife, but the second wife can support herself financially and with another apartment, she has another apartment, can I marry her? Jazakallahu khairah. And she's getting the money from the government.
الرجل يريد أن ويسأل لا يقدر على أن ينفق على الزوجة الجديدة، ولكنها نفسها تستطيع أن تنفق على نفسها بما تأخذ من الحكومة وهي راضية أن تتزوج منه، هل هذا شيء يجوز؟
نقول كما قال الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام: اليد العليا خير من اليد السفلى. فهذه اليد سفلى مرتين،
المرة الأولى أنها امرأة تنفق على زوجها، والمرة الثانية أنها ينفق عليها من الحكومات التي لا دين لها ولا عهد لها. نعم.
He said, we say, as the Prophet and the Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And what did he say? He said, the hand that is on top is better than the hand that is on the bottom. And here in this situation, and what was mentioned here, we have the hand being on the bottom two times. One is that the girl is spending upon herself, and the second one is that the non-Muslim, non-believing government is also spending upon her. The government that has no religion, the government that has no deen. One of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who he was going to divorce, Sauda radiallahu ta'ala anha, gave her time to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Please explain this in terms of justice. Also, is this only specific to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wasallam? And I'm happy to say that this is probably the first and only person who wrote sallallahu alaihi wasallam. أمنا سوداء رضي الله تعالى عنها سوداء وهبت يومها لعائشة. هل تستطيع أن تبين لنا أين وجه العدل في هذه العملية؟ وكذلك هل هذا من خصوصية النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ من خصوصية؟
لا، هذا ليس من الخصوصية في شيء، والعدل فيه ليس راجعا إلى النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أو إلى زوجته عائشة، وإنما هو أمر عائد إلى سودة رضي الله عنها وقدرتها على ألا يكون لها يوم مع باقي أخواتها من النساء، بحيث إن النساء كلما كبرت الواحدة منهن كلما انشغلت بنفسها وبظرفها، وكلما ابتعدت نفسها عن تطلب الشهوة وما شابه ذلك، فهي لما رأت من نفسها رضي الله عنها هذا الشيء آثرت بيومها أختا لها من أخواتها التي كلهن أزواج للنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. فلو أنها وهبت يومها لغيرها لكان ذلك جائزا، فهذا اليوم هو حق لها، تنازلت من حقها او عن حقها لغيرها، فالامر ليس فيه ظلم، ولا يسأل عنه انه اعدل هو ام لا، لانه حق، هذا حق معنوي وذاك حق مادي، كما انه يجوز التنازل عن الحق المادي لسبب يقع في النفس والعقل والبال، كذلك يجوز التنازل عن الحق المعنوي او الاجتماعي او ما شابه ذلك. فانا لا ادري كيف يعني مثل هذا السؤال، وحق للاخ السائل او الاخت السائلة ان تسأل، لكن ما وجه كون الامر عدلا او ليس عدلا في قضية هي الحق فيها لرجل او لامرأة او لسودة كما هو في السؤال، ثم تتنازل حقها لانسان بعينه، لامرأة بعينها، هي اختها عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها. ليس في ذلك غضاضة البتة، والأمر جائز في من كان مثلها من المسلمات إلى أبد الدهر. نعم.
The Sheikh went on to say, brothers and sisters, that this action of Sauda is not something that is special or something from the khususiyah, those special rulings that are only applicable to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nor is the ruling only special or applicable to Sauda radiallahu ta'ala anha. The Sheikh said, and also it's an issue that does not have anything to do with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, nor does it have anything to do with Aisha, but what it is totally the business and the affairs of Sauda radiallahu ta'ala anha, the one who chose to do this. As long as she herself saw herself and thought herself to be in a position where she can handle the ramifications that were going to come as a result of her giving her day to someone else, then there's no problem with that at all. As for the reason behind her doing this, we know that every time a woman becomes older, as she increases in age, she becomes more busy with her personal affairs. She becomes more busy with those things that are keeping her away from her husband for whatever reason. When Sauda radiallahu ta'ala anha noticed this about her life and her lifestyle and herself, she did a good deed by giving as a gift her day to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And she looked at Aisha as what? Radiallahu ta'ala anha. She looked at Aisha as another wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and her sister in al-Islam. So with that being the case, if Sauda radiallahu ta'ala anha wanted to give her day to other than Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she could have gave her day to other than her. Then the Shaykh went on to say, as for the actual giving of the day, or what he called a tanazul, her giving her day up, he said this is nothing that has nothing to do with oppression whatsoever, and it shouldn't be asked where is the justice in it, because it's not even an issue that is around this. It has nothing to do with oppression or justice. It's like any other issue where a person has some rights, like with some monetary gain. He has some money and he gives up his rights. He allows the person to keep the money and he overlooks that. He said it's just like that. Is it said for this situation with the money? Someone owes you some money and you said no, you can keep it, you overlook it. He said, is it act? Where is the justice here? Where is the oppression? Why the oppression? He said it doesn't have anything to do with anything. So the person looks at his condition in the society and overlooking that thing, he looks at his specific situation and then he decides. He said, I don't know why and I don't understand why. The question would even be posed or presented, where's the adl, or where's why not the adl? Where's the justice and why not the justice? Why even research that issue? So the Prophet, the Shaykh subhanallah al-Azim said that the issue goes back to Sauda radiallahu ta'ala anha, and it's permissible for whoever is in the same position that she was in until Allah establishes the hour. We have two more questions, inshaAllah. Is it obligatory to have the permission of the first wife in order to get married to the second wife? And what if the first wife says, if you do get married, I'm going to leave? هل يشترط يا شيخ على الرجل الذي يريد أن يتزوج الثانية أن يستأذن من الأولى وهي تقول ما رأيك في قولها لو تزوجت فأنا خارج أريد أن أنفصل عنك.
I understood. أما بالنسبة للجواز وعدمه فيجوز له أن يستأذنها، لكن ليس المشكلة في أنه يجوز له ذلك، ولكن المشكلة في أنه هل يجب عليه ذلك؟ فنقول لا يجب. نعم يجوز من باب حسن العشرة، لكن هل يجب عليه أن يستأذنها؟ لا يجب عليه ذلك، ولا يوجد دليل يدل على ذلك. هذا أولا. أما الأمر الثاني وهو قول المرأة إذا تزوجت علي فإني سأغادر البيت وأخرج، فأقول هذا أمر لا يستغرب من النساء، هذا أمر لا يستغرب من النساء، فإن المرأة هي المرأة، والغيرة التي حذرنا منها في آخر تنبيه في المحاضرة السابقة نذكر بها الآن. هل هذا الزوج الذي أراد أن يتزوج امرأة أخرى فعله مخالف للشرع أم موافق له؟ لا شك أنه موافق للشرع. فعلك ونشوزك عن بيتك أو عن زوجك عن زوجك وخروجك من بيتك، هل هذا موافق للشرع أم مخالف للشرع؟ هو مخالف للشرع، وهي تعلم أنها مخالفة للشرع، لكنها في لحظة غلبة الهوى عليها وغلبة العاطفة العمياء على قلبها وعينيها، فإنها تقدم غيرتها وهواها
على شريعة الله وعلى حكم الله تبارك وتعالى. والله يقول: أفرأيت من اتخذ إلهه هواه. فلتتق الله النساء في ذلك، ولتعلم أن هذا الأمر حق وشرع وحكم من الله، لا يغيره انصرافها ولا خروجها ولا مغادرتها، وحكم الله باق بقواعده وشروطه وضوابطه. ولكن هذا لا يعني أن يقوم الزوج بمعالجة الأمر بغير طريق الشرع وبحكم الشرع، بل عليه أن يحرص الحرص كله على أن يكون موائما للشرع وملائما له في ضبطه لأموره وشؤونه وفي علاجه لهذه المشكلة أو تلك المشكلة، لا أنه يريد الزواج ليضيف إشكالات فوق إشكالات ومصائب فوق مصائب، وإنما يريد الزواج لينشئ أسرة تقيم شرع الله وتنشئ فيما بينها دين الله سبحانه وتعالى. والله المسجل.
The Sheikh went on to say, brothers and sisters, before we get to the very last question, that as for this question, whether or not it is permissible or not permissible, he said, no doubt, it's permissible for the man to go and to ask his wife's permission whether or not he can proceed to take a second wife. But this is not the problem, whether it's permissible or not permissible to ask that question. The issue is whether or not it is obligatory upon him to ask her or not to ask her. The Sheikh went on to say, it is not obligatory upon him to ask for her permission. But it is, from what he described, as the husn ishra effort, because now I think altogether he must have given us 3.5 hours when we were leaving to go have lunch or dinner, depending upon the way you look at it. You know that the homosexuals are converging upon Clapham there, and they're going to celebrate their kufr, their shirk. So there was a lot of traffic and a lot of evil signs, a lot of evil things in front of us. Naked women, homosexuals, dogs barking, dogs in the car licking kufr in their face. It was music all over the place, and he just kept holding his head and kept pulling on his thing, saying, I want to go home, I want to go home. And I could see how he was clearly agitated by being in this place of kufr and shirk. And he really didn't want to come back. But we convinced him, and he came back and gave us, alhamdulillah, 45 minutes. And this is what we know about our ulama and the people of knowledge, that they are the most generous of the people when it comes to giving the zakat on the knowledge that they have. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him, and may he also accept it from all of us. Qulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك واشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك. Your husband and the action that he is about to do, is this action and this deed in accordance to al-Islam or in contradiction to al-Islam? Obviously the answer is yes. Now we say to you, sister, your action threatening to leave the house, threatening to disobey your husband, this unbecoming behavior from the Muslim woman, is it in accordance to al-Islam or not in accordance to al-Islam? Obviously, the question is no, by no stretch of the imagination. So this woman, she knows that what she is doing is in contradiction to the deen. She knows that. And she has no doubt that it's wrong. But at this particular moment, she becomes Hawa or his nafs, and he has made his Hawa his God. She is similar to this person. So the Sheikh went on to say to the women, fear Allah, O you women, concerning this affair. Because the man getting married to another woman is the haq, it's true. And it is from the religion. And it is a ruling from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also you need to understand that you should not allow your jealousy to make you think that your jealousy and your leaving the house and your being disobedient is going to change anything in this religion. It doesn't change the flavor or the complexion of Allah's religion by any means. So your actions are for nothing. He went on to say, so I am not saying by all of the statements that the husband does not take into consideration the girl's condition. I'm not saying that the husband should work and deal with the girl with harshness. But what he should do is he should make sure that he finds his affairs consistent, and he should find a way and the proper means, the intelligent means, to make the mu'alaja, or to solve this problem that is confronting him. He shouldn't be a person who he has existing problems already, and now he comes to get married, and the way he's going to do it is not respect the girl's opinion, and he's going to make problems on top of problems, confusion on top of confusion, on top of confusion. So with that being the case, let him take those things into consideration.
JazakAllah khair. The last question, the answer was encompassed in that question, answer anyway. So we'll stop here and break for 5 minutes, and then start the next lecture, the tafsir of Ayat 125 and Surah An-Nahl, in 5 minutes. JazakAllah khair.
We would like